I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison, and back for a second week is Dave Cribb.
A second, ahoy hoy, a second week. You make me sound like a sort of new, you know, like when Top Gear got the new presenters, and it's like,
yeah,
this is my second week of the new series, even though
like we're, Matt LeBlanc, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, there you go. Oh, how full circle we come accidentally. Are you well?
I mean, the Patreon subscribers have already heard me answer that question, but yeah, I'm absolutely fine, thanks.
Yeah, that is the problem. We can't just repeat the
I'm
small
I'm fine, talk. Dave. Move on.
Pete filled his car with petrol and it cost £61.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
That's what I was just having a little moan about.
So there you go. But I mean, that, amongst other gold, is worth the Patreon subscription alone, I would have thought. Patreon.com.
Hang on while I close my spare room door.
Oh, no. Well, this is the sort of stuff you should have been doing in the Patreon intro.
Yeah, but I've just realised I can hear my washing machine. That's why.
Oh. Let's place bets while Pete closes his door. What do we think? Is it a
I'm back.
White swash? Is it a, what is it?
It's colours, actually.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't split my laundry.
You don't? What do you do with your whites?
Just chuck them all in, mate. Chuck them all in.
Oh, Dave.
Yeah, it's all fine.
But then your whites go all grey.
Well, I don't really have that many white clothes. I'm more of a dark-hued man. But B, I have never experienced it. And I don't know. It feels like one of those old urban myths to me of like the times before modern laundry machines. Do you know what I mean? Why am I saying laundry machines?
Colours running are not an urban myth.
They are if you
they
wash.
They are a serious issue, Dave.
But not if you wash on cold, which we should all be doing for the environment, Pete.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah, but then it doesn't get marks out. Sorry, Greta.
What temperature are you washing at these days?
40.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's the difference then. I'm a 30 man myself. But I genuinely have never experienced colours running in the wash. so I feel like it's a life thing I've missed out on over the years. But like as the very first season,
doesn't
of
that
Friends,
happen in Friends?
Yeah. Very first season. Yeah, the Uber Vice.
Yeah,
when Rachel leaves, all her stuff goes pink, doesn't it?
Yeah,
in the East German laundry detergent episode.
Have we done that one? I feel like we might have done.
You should know better by now than
Hang on,
ask
I've got the
me whether we've done one or not. Yeah, exactly.
No, we haven't.
We haven't done it?
No.
Well, guys, if you get your request in now, then you might hear that episode before the turn of the century. talking of requests, do you fancy hearing this week's request, Pete? The ironic thing is, and this is a bit of behind the scenes, isn't it, is that I read the request every week. But only because you text it to me. Because
yeah,
you're the person that deals with the requests.
Yeah.
So Pete takes
so it sounds like you're in charge, but actually
Pete
it's just
takes
me.
The request, copies it into a WhatsApp, and then I go every week, hey Pete, do you want to hear this week's request?
Like, yes, I just sent you it.
Do you read it before you send them though, or do you
I mean, obviously, at the time, but as
this request will indicate, the lag time is quite something. So you obviously read it at the time, but when you copy and paste it to me now, do you reread it or do you wait for me to read it back?
Yeah.
So this is literally You're not acting surprised. Ugh, fine, okay, well, I'll read it out for people that aren't you then.
Is it the one with Ross's inappropriate song?
Heya, says Louisa. Love, love, love the pod and getting to listen to you take the piss out of all the great episodes. I can't believe this one hasn't come up, the one with Ross's inappropriate song. Ross and Rachel singing Baby Got Back, Chandler and Joey being weird in Richard's apartment, true, and best of all, Phoebe meeting Mike's parents. Where does everyone summer? Always makes me laugh. Yes, that is a very funny line. Thanks for making the pod. Would you like to hear the pièce de résistance of this request?
Well, yes, I know what it is. We'll carry on. Louis-
So, we've really spoiled the magic of this bit, haven't we? Thanks for making the pod. Can't wait for season 6. Which
yeah, that,
indeed started last
time ago.
June. this is season 7 now, isn't it, Pete?
It is. Season 7, episode 2 of Friends with Friends.
Season 7, episode 2. Do you know what? We've never done this before, but I'm going to look it up. And I should know this off pat, but I'm not very good at season 7 and 8 off, like, the specific details. What is season 7, episode 2 of Friends? That's where we're up to.
I had the DVD of that. It's after Monica's Thunder.
Yeah, so it'll be Rachel's book, won't it?
Rachel's book. Good, glad we got that cleared up.
Yeah, there you go. So this is the podcast equivalent of the one with Rachel's book without the pornography.
There's a sex tape.
Oh yeah, there's literally a sex tape. Yeah, how well it ties in. Yeah, there is a sex tape. All right, we'll get onto that in a minute then. Fine, that's probably one of the most porny episodes, this, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's literal porn in it. Oh God, fine, okay.
Is it porn if you make it yourself?
Amateur porn, I think they call it, Pete.
Yeah, but it's not made for porn, is it? It's made for, like, personal enjoyment. Is that porn? What makes porn porn?
Oh, you're suggesting that pornography is just...
Isn't it porn when it's a wider audience?
Right. God. Oh, no. I just typed pornography into Google. And...
Don't do that.
Well, no. I've not pressed enter yet, but it does do the Google suggests thing. And the first one is pornography addiction. Is there any hope?
I hope. Wow, it's dark. Right.
Pornography definition is what I was going to type. That's good to get the dictionary. Printed or visual material containing explicit description or display of sexual organs or activity intended to stimulate sexual excitement.
I suppose it probably is all porn, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't say for a mass market, you know?
For an audience of at least... No, there's no criteria there, is
no, there? No, single or double, you know? Single person, two people, more people.
Hang on, I have a question.
Okay.
What did that say again about... Read it again.
Printed or visual material.
So you can't have such a thing as audio porn?
Wow, this is probably an old, like one of those classic hasn't caught up yet, you know? Because I would suggest if they're counting printed material, as opposed to visual, aka... like erotic literature, then audio definitely counts as well, right?
Someone must do a bit of a porny podcast. It's just, you know, like noise. Yeah, just noises.
Well, as it happens, if you subscribe to the new tier on our Patreon this month, we have literally nobody wants to hear that. Like, in the nicest possible way, why would you do a porny podcast? Because it's so easily accessible without having to go to the Apple Podcasts app, you know?
Directly in your ears, though, isn't it? It's quite intimate. The podcast, I mean. That's quite intimate.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, I'm not going to Google it. Of course I'm going to Google it.
Like, for some people would probably say that ASMR is porny.
Well, yes, that's kind of 2021's best erotic sex podcasts to download right now. Well, I'm not going to. But there you go. Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of sex podcasts, but I can't find anything specifically that is just pornography.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it?
But is erotic...
Gap in the market, I
erotic
think.
Audio is the audio equivalent of porn, isn't it? Anyway, look, shall we move on? I feel it's important that we move on.
Yeah.
So we're doing season 9, episode 7, the one with Ross's inappropriate song, 175257. For fans of the production code. Wikipedia synopsis says as follows. Rachel is jealous that Ross can make Emma laugh by singing Baby Got Back. Phoebe meets Mike's affluent parents and tries impressing them with a snobbish accent. And Chandler and Joey find a videotape in Rich's apartment with Monica's name on it. What I would say is that synopsis has done absolutely nothing to add any information to Louisa's, who's said,
no, Louisa did the trick.
That was a very strong and concise request from May the 1st last year. Sorry about that. And underneath it on Wikipedia, it says special guest star Paul Rudd as Mike.
Not already a guest,
really,
by this point,
is he? I was going to say. It says that in all of them from the next. That's nuts. At some point, you just stop becoming a special guest, don't you? Right, so where should we start, Pete? We've got the three plot lines. We've got parents, porn, and... what's the other one? I just said it. Oh, parents, porn, and poorly wrapped music. I was trying to think of a third P.
Can we get that bit out of the way?
The song?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not actually that much to it.
It's not really in it much, is it?
No.
It's only like two or three scenes,
and
that's
very surprised with how little it was involved. Because it's the start and it's the end. And then only pretty much two other scenes in the whole thing, isn't it? I know that the joke is that it's an inappropriate song to sing to a baby, but even knowing that, it's still fucking nuts, isn't it?
It just... Well, babies don't really have a clue what's going on at that age, but I'm sure at some level it's registering on some sort of deep-rooted development.
The only positive to take from this is that Emma won't be actively traumatised by it, you know? Singing a song about how you like your own daughter's ass is awful. Then add into the fact that it's your newborn baby daughter. I mean, it's. I know Ross says I'm a terrible parent, but I think that is shrugged off too heavily for what's happening here.
Another sign of potential poor parenting is that Emma's bedroom appears to be a corner of the hallway. Ross just goes and, like, puts her in the corner of the hall. And it's like a low-key Harry Potter in a cupboard under the stairs.
It really is, isn't it? Yeah, we never see... I mean, we do see Ross's bedroom a couple of times when him and Rachel sleep together and all that sort of stuff. But we never sort of see the geography of Ross's apartment in that way, do we? We never see down the corridors or anything like that.
We see the kitchen.
We see the kitchen, yeah.
Never see his bathroom.
Never see his bathroom and... Is it a one or a two bed? It's a two bed, surely, isn't it? Because Rachel lives there, and you know the people live there that aren't Ross.
Yeah,
I just there's not enough doors for that for my liking, but that's fine.
So just shove Emma in the hall.
Yeah, well, exactly. So Ross and Rachel have clearly got a room, and rather than decide which one of them's going to have Emma in their room, they've just opted for neither of us. She can never have a bloody room.
Neutral territory.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Switzerlander, don't they? Completely Switzerlander. We do mainly only ever see her in the living room or the corridor, don't we? So there's no evidence to support the fact that she stays in one of their rooms when staying at Ross's. We do have it in Joey's apartment, like we see Emma in Rachel's room there, don't we? On a more pernickety level, always bugs me this, that Ross sings the song a bit wrong.
They both sing it at like a slightly different rhythm and things. Don't
yes,
they?
Yeah. Rachel at the end does it as well, and it's just one of those things where I think, why has that happened then?
Yeah.
Like Ross's line is "You other brothers can't deny," which he just sings in a different rhythm to the way Sir Mix-a-Lot sings it, and then Rachel does it at the end with the line "Has your girlfriend got the butt?" Just different rhythm. Why? Why have they done that? Surely the only thing they've done in preparation for these scenes is listen to Baby Got Back, like almost immediately before they've shot this scene, right?
I wouldn't know beyond I Like Big Butts and I Can't Lie.
Oh, Pete, come on. You're just crying out here for us to test this theory. So
no, I don't know anything else.
Yeah, go on. No, go on.
I Like Big Butts and I Cannot Lie.
Yeah.
Your Other Brothers Can't Deny.
Yeah.
When a Girl Walks In.
Yep. Yeah.
With an itty bitty waist.
Yep.
And a round thing in your face.
Yep.
I'm done.
You get sprung.
Continue.
Want to pull up tough because you noticed that the butt was... I've got the lyrics because I was checking how far you could get.
Oh, you're a fraud.
Because you noticed that butt was stuffed deep in the jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. I don't think people need to listen to us say the words of... So Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back.
No. Maybe we can end the podcast with the dramatic reading.
Again, content nobody wants, but let that not stop us, Peter. When's it ever stopped us before?
Yeah.
So Ross makes Emma laugh, doesn't he? By singing the song. Rachel gets mad and then resorts to singing the song. That's basically the second scene. That's all there is to it. Although before Rachel does rap Baby's Got Back, she does some of the worst sort of freestyle rapping I've ever heard in my life.
My name is Mummy
and I'm here to say... Yeah, it's just one of those things that, again, I know that's the joke, that it's supposed to be bad, but it just makes you shudder a bit, doesn't it? With its... One of those.
There isn't much else to really say about this plot, is it? Just sort of.
That's literally it. Rachel gets mad, which is completely justifiable in the moment, but then resorts to it. And then there is that very funny closing sequence, the post-titles credits, isn't there?
Which I think is interesting, because at that point, Mike is just sort of very much part of the gang, doesn't he? He's at the doorway with the rest of them, like he's embedded.
Just wanders in, doesn't he? Yeah. I guess that is just after him and Phoebe have declared their love for each other. So it's a nice cementing moment of him to the group, I would have thought, you know?
True.
So, yeah, I mean, shall we leave the first bit there?
Yeah.
Okay. Onwards to either the pawn or the parents.
Pawn.
Pawn first. So this all comes from Joey's desire to... invest in something, either Pete, some property, or an emu farm. The classic two options.
Emu. Not emu.
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 Yeah. Yes, is that
like an emailed cow noise? An emu.
it's like an electronic cow's opinion. It doesn't matter. It's emu.
At first I thought it was Joey getting it wrong, and then Monica says emu.
Yes, I feel like we're going to get a number of bits of correspondence from the Yanks across the pond, aren't we, Pete? Saying that's
What the hell, guys?
That's how
what
we sell emu. Emu. Emu.
The other thing is that Monica says, oh, no, they're raised for farming. Who's eating emu?
Well,
emu.
Oh, you're doing it yourself now, isn't it? Yeah. Emu meat. We don't really eat emu meat here, do we?
No, we don't.
What do you call emu meat?
And you just call it emu meat.
Yeah, I think you do, but everything else has got a name, hasn't it?
E-meat.
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 I'm spotting another gap in the market, Pete.
I don't want to provide that market with emu meat.
No, that is true, actually. Okay, well, when you're getting in touch with us to yell at us for the way you sound to say the word emu, can you tell us if you all eat emu meat? Is that like a...
Has anyone listening to Friends with Friends ever eaten emu?
That's all we want to know this week. That's all we want to know. So Joey was about to invest in an emu farm, but then decided not to because what a dreadful idea. Because as we've just discovered, you can't buy the emu meat anywhere.
And because Monica seems to know a lot about investing.
She does. Interesting point of Joey's sort of saving technique here, isn't there? Where he keeps his cash.
Oh, yes, behind the toilet.
Yeah, but he's buying a New York apartment, Pete. Like, he's got enough money to buy a New York apartment.
But that's a fucking big toilet, isn't it?
Richard's apartment is over $1 million. That is absolutely...
Well,
that's a
Richard
gimme.
Is a very well-paid eye doctor if he can afford a home overlooking Central Park, as it's referenced as the one he's moving into.
Yeah.
Is a beautiful place overlooking Central Park. Like, that's Mike's parents kind of rich.
Yeah, exactly. And that apartment that they're in, like, is worth bare coin already. So Joey must have... like over $1 million taped to the back of his toilet.
Also, that is not an apartment Richard would live in.
No, it's not. It really isn't.
The styling of it is not Richardy. Richard is very like, it would be very classy but traditionally decorated if it was Richard's apartment. And instead, it's got all these weird bits of modern art all over the place.
It's
not
far
Richard-y.
Too modern for Richard, isn't it? Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I totally agree.
Richard's place would be lovely. I can believe that. But it would not look like this.
No, and is this supposed to be the same apartment that we've seen previously? You know, right when Monica first meets Richard? Presumably he's moved by then. But we only see that the kitchen in that bit, you know, when her and Phoebe are catering the party. But that feels more like a classic Richard place, you know? And this one doesn't feel very Richardy. Although, do you know what? I think we learn a lot about Richard in this episode.
He's got a bit of a dirty side, hasn't he?
Well, it's an interesting insight into Richard's, like, hobbies as a serial taper of sex, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Like a one-off with Monica, who was, as he admits, the second woman he's ever slept with?
Well, also, I had never seen the line, that bastard taped over me.
Your classic watching it on the telly, aren't
until
you?
Today.
Yeah.
So when she said that, I was like, oh, that's how this has happened. And that's how Monica knew that she had been taped at some point, but I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
What happens in the sort of TV censored version?
Well, it's just that she realizes it's not her.
What? That's not me, and that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, that is a fairly weak...
And then weirdly goes, this is so insulting, but I suppose that's not really clear why she was insulted,
she says
but
that.
Now
yeah.
It is.
Oh, fine.
By the way, also, yeah. Chandler has too much of an issue with this. Like, your wife had a sex life before you married her, deal with it.
Chandler's insecurity around Richard all the way through this is still like, he's like so clearly, as it were, won the day. You know, he is with Monica. It's not like he's got this sort of anger issue with someone that's stolen someone from him, as he might see it. Like, he has won the day. He's married to Monica and he's still so insecure about her ex-boyfriend.
Well, also, just on like even if you take his insecurity about Richard away from it, you got to accept that your grown woman of a wife has had sex with other people before she married you. Like, that's allowed. That's fine.
That's absolutely fine. What I would say is that there's an element to which he might feel an insecurity because he's not a sort of, you know, dirty sex taper Chandler, and he might feel like, is that what she wants, you know? Like, am I not giving her something she wants? But his all of insecurities start even before they discover the tape, don't they? You know, like, he's talking about beating Richard to death with a golf club at the start. Mm. Like, just because he's selling his apartment. Like, not because of that, but, you know, just from the news he's selling his apartment.
By the way, when Joey watches the tape, TV clearly off.
Yeah.
Like, you can actually see blatantly that it's turned off.
Yeah, there's some very strange continuity bits in this. Did you also notice Monica's knee pads?
No.
You know the scene where she comes in and
is
Joey,
she wearing knee pads?
Where Joey pulls her down to the floor. She's wearing
like
a long...
learning to skateboard. Yeah,
she's wearing a long skirt, but as she falls to the floor, it just like rides up over the knee pads, and you can see that she's prepared for that. You know,
that.
No one ever say Courtney Cox doesn't do her own stunts, guys.
Yeah, what a stunt that is.
Falling gently onto the floor. And actually, not even onto the floor, really, onto two other people, isn't it? I think it's the
she's well cushioned.
Yeah, already cushioned by two grown men. Don't need the knee pads caught. Interesting place to keep your sex tapes, isn't it?
On show.
On show, just with the rest of the films.
Yeah,
like just with your Hollywood blockbusters, especially considering like this situation that they're in, aka Richard's given the key to his apartment to a real estate agent, and they are showing strangers around the apartment, you know?
And someone sees a tape with a name on it and says, hey, let's watch that.
Yeah, exactly. Or just what everybody, as Joey says, you know, the first thing you think when you see in a man's apartment a tape with a name on it. These are very 90s problems, aren't they? Like, nothing that any of us have had to contend with before.
Well, absolutely. It can't relate to having a display of VHS tapes.
No, exactly. Yeah, never mind ones sort of hand-scrawled. So Tanner takes the tape, they watch it, Monica comes in, she realises it's not her. That's how it ends, with that line that you've never heard. Here's the interesting thing about this plot line for me, Pete, and this is quite niche, but stick with me, will you? Have you ever watched the TV show Coupling?
No.
Okay, so Coupling was, to all intents and purposes, a sort of British Friends. Are you aware of it?
Yeah.
So Stephen Moffat, off of Doctor Who fame and all of that, wrote it. And it has Jack Davenport in it off of, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean. And it has Sarah Alexander in it. And it's a great show. Really funny. There is an episode of Coupling where a character called Susan is dating Steve. They're the two main... They're the Ross and Rachel, as it were. Or the Monica and Chandler, I guess. But she used to date a man called Patrick, who's also part of the gang. And Steve is round at Patrick's apartment and sees a tape with Susan's name on it. And gets all, you know, pajiggity and, oh, what's going on here?
Gets all what?
All pajiggity.
Is that a word?
I don't think it's a word, but it's
okay, carry on.
Takes the tape, watch it, Susan walks in, big palaver, what's going on? Why are you watching that tape? How could you? And then she literally says something like, I can't remember, I've not watched it in years, and do you know what the worst thing about this is? That's not even me. And it turns out that Patrick has taped over Susan. It's the exact same storyline.
Which came first?
Coupling.
Oh, really?
I know. I was absolutely ready to be like, Moffat, what have you done here? But turns out this episode of Coupling aired 2 years before this episode of Friends.
It's like Turkey on the Head and Mr. Bean.
Yeah. It is.
Bean did that first, didn't he?
Yeah, Bean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bean did the turkey first. Now you take a step back, and in this episode, you have a plot that's completely lifted from another sitcom, and the title plot, which is about a father singing about his newborn baby daughter's bottom.
Ass, yeah.
It's a strange episode when you look at it through that lens, isn't it?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, then, to Phoebe and Mike's parents. Not Phoebe and Mike's parents, they have the same parents, but Phoebe, comma, and Mike's parents. This is one of those plot lines, and I know Louisa flagged it and said it's really good, and there are loads of really funny bits in it, 100%. There's also loads of mad bits, which we'll come on to. But this is one of those plot lines where, you know, when you realise it's that episode, and you just sort of like, it just slightly stresses me out when I hear Phoebe going, oh, I'm meeting Mike's parents, because you know what's coming, and there's that. Do you know what I mean? You get that sort of like slightly eggy feeling.
Well, her nervousness about meeting Mike's family is very sweet. And the thing is that she doesn't help herself with her conversation choices, obviously, but it's an uncomfortably formal occasion that has been set up for this meeting. Like, why are Tom and Sue there?
I don't understand why. I've literally written, why are Tom and Sue there? Like, this is a big moment, isn't it?
It's almost like they're only there for that joke about how boring they are.
But in the real situation, as it were, you're meeting your son's like partner and you've not decided you don't like it yet. So you're like, oh, cool, let's have him around for dinner. Why are you inviting Tom and Sue?
Yeah. And I think I can understand if you're meeting, like, I mean, many of us have experienced this when you're meeting your new partner's parents. Like, that's a scary thing. Even if they're lovely, it's still just a sort of like inherently scary thing. It's made scarier by it being like formal dinner party with staff working in their home.
Yes, 100%. And what I would say added to that is that Mike does not help this situation in general by continually not only leaving Phoebe on her own to talk to the parents, which is, you know, for her clearly quite daunting, but sort of like sending her off on assignments to do it, you know? Why don't you go over there and talk to my dad now while I just stand here? Sure, all right, fine.
Yeah, it's also, there's only six people there. Yeah. You can't really mill around in twos. It's not like a party.
I know, why are they not all just having a chat? You know, that's what happens at the start. Why doesn't that vibe continue? Why is Mike's dad just standing in the corner of the living room during a very small dinner party? But Phoebe doesn't help the situation, does she, by her, like you say, topic of conversation and then punching Mike's dad.
Yeah.
Which, you know, of course, like he says, you want to know, why wouldn't you punch him in the stomach? But it's that sort of... Lisa Kudrow does that really nervous energy really well, doesn't she? Like, sort of the panic, and she starts off normally, then she panics, and, you know, like the conversation about Mike and her banging. starts off in a really nice way. Like
rattle her board like a sailor on the roof.
But it starts off with like, your son is very lovely and respectful of women, and then basically just U-turns into, and boy, do we do some good sexing, basically.
And my favourite bit of, possibly my favourite bit of the whole episode, is the start of a scene where it just cuts to Phoebe singing the final few lines of Smelly Cat.
I agree, that is
so
funny.
Good. Yeah. And then when we're given the context of the fact that she sung it because no one had talked for so long, I love that. And it's obviously intentional, but you really feel like it would have been nice to see like the whole kind of thing, but it's good that you don't.
No, it's such a well done moment, isn't it? Yeah. And it comes, I think that's probably like off the back of the ad break.
It's a bit where she goes like, and then it goes back to the chorus.
Yeah, like she hasn't been singing the song, she's been talking them through the song, like a sort of like a TED talk.
Showing her working.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's so well done. Why doesn't she pay taxes? That's my question.
Yes, a bit of tax dodging.
It's her entire job, cash in hand, flipping heck. I'd flag something on the old IRS system, wouldn't you, if you weren't paying anything? Mike keeps leaving her to talk to his parents, and that all goes wrong, and she punches him in the stomach, and he has to go and check for internal bleeding, etc. The worst bit, though, of this entire plotline, Pete, the bit where she has to eat the meat.
Yeah, that is uncomfortable.
Why does nobody stop her? Like, Mike sort of goes, oh, you don't have to eat that. And she goes, no, it's fine. And after that point, Mike's parents, I mean, fuck, absolutely fuck them. They're just watching her eat the meat.
Yeah, she should have punched a bit harder.
Yeah, right. And his mum even smiles at the end when she goes, yummy. She's like, oh, thank goodness you liked it. It's like, if you're a lifelong vegetarian, or even a vegetarian, or even just don't like a thing, to just sit there and be like, well, obviously the polite thing to do would be to eat this meat. And not to just go, actually, do you know what? We'll have one of the staff, of which we have plenty, apparently, whip something up.
Yeah, there is definitely an alternative knocking about.
Yeah, 100%. It made me really, it really made me feel a bit queasy, that bit. And then she goes off, throws up in the closet, and they declare their love for each other. Happy days. It's like a sort of nice moment in Phoebe and Mike's relationship, this, isn't it? A sort of significant point.
Yeah, and it's quite a bold move of Mike to be like, no, you're right, fuck my parents. Let's go off and have a nice time together. Like, that's quite a gesture that he makes.
It is, considering, like, it doesn't really appear to be a fractious relationship, does it, Mike and his parents? They seem to get on all right. We don't really hear too much about, you know, he seems to have a fairly close family unit, but yeah, he does just go, nah, absolutely fuck you guys. This is my choice. And then they run off into the sunset to wait for Mike's parents to die so Phoebe can inherit all the money. That's something
Pretty
we never
much.
Saw in Friends. Do you know what? That is the spin-off they should have made. Mike's parents die and Phoebe suddenly becomes incredibly wealthy. I'd watch that.
Yeah.
Do a quiz.
Yeah, let's do a quiz. Oh, no, quotes.
Oh, the new bit. Forgot. Do we do the new bit first, then the quiz? Is that how this works? Yeah, all right, fine. The new bit, as started last week on this here podcast. Top three jokes. What are your top three jokes from this episode, Pete? I actually had four, but one of them was, and then it goes back to the chorus, which just, it's not really a joke per se, but the whole scene is so funny.
My door's cut 2 seconds. There's someone at my door.
Oh.
Well, one sec.
Let's listen in on this, guys. Live
Hello.
Delivery, do we think?
Two sets.
Oh, it's quick. Yeah, sounds like a delivery to me. What do we reckon? This, for context, is 3:45 on a Monday afternoon when we're recording this, so a bit late for the post. But it could be an Amazon or something. Or it could be like a... It's too quick for grocery shop, that, wasn't it? So I guess we'll find out when Pete gets back. I'm not sure he expects me to still be talking when he gets back, and I've sort of given
Hello.
A live commentary on this whole thing. Hi, Pete, he's back.
What have you been doing?
I've just been doing a live commentary on it.
Have you?
Yeah, well, we were wondering, weren't we, guys? Well, I was wondering, and hopefully everyone else was, what it was, because it's 3:45, Pete, a bit late for the post. Was it, I think, my guess is Amazon delivery.
Yes, but not for me.
Oh, who's it for?
Neighbour.
Ah. I thought you had a
for
sorted,
number four.
Had a sordid secret there that you're gonna not for me, for my living lover.
No.
Just neighbour. Who's your neighbour?
Just whoever lives at number four.
Oh, you don't know them by name?
No.
Not very neighbourly of you, is it?
I would say that the Smelly Cat bit is definitely in there.
Yeah.
In fact, they're all part of the Phoebe storyline for me.
That's kind of okay.
I also love Michael a pimp spit in her mouth. just generally the whole pimp spit bit. And then my one of my favourite parts of the whole episode as well is a line that is so cruel on Monica and so funny, and particularly when Phoebe doubles down by not realising why it's so mean. Rachel saying that Judy's always said that Rachel was like the daughter she never had, which I think is so bleak for Monica, but I love it.
So bleak, and it's so glossed over just for Phoebe's, you know, like Phoebe's you've got to learn to listen type vibe. But my God, what a cutting remark that is, you know? And
it's
that's
great.
Like, we haven't had a lot of Judy's awful parenting of Monica for a while. You know, that's very early Friends, isn't it? But it's nice that nice to see it rear its little head again there.
Still going strong.
Back on the Mike and Phoebe, I think, so my third was Mike saying, well, Phoebe said, I've never met a boyfriend's parents before. And Mike says, but you have met humans before, right?
Yeah.
And then a couple of Ross ones, a couple of Ross and Rachel ones, actually. I really enjoy when Rachel comes in and Emma's been laughing and Ross sort of goes, you know, she's been laughing, it was amazing. And Rachel goes, and I missed it because I was giving a makeover to that stupid hippie.
Yeah.
And there's just something, again, it's very like hippie Phoebe as a vibe. It's very season one, isn't it? But I just love that's how they still see her. And then a really throwaway one from Ross for me is probably my favourite one. Just, I really love the way Schwimmer delivers when he's trying to justify Baby Got Back to Rachel. And he goes, actually, it's promoting a healthy body image because even big butts or juicy doubles. And she stops him there. But the way he sort of does the air quotes and the juicy doubles just made me chortle, Peter. Them's our top jokes. Them's our top jokes of the episode.
Louisa has kindly provided a quiz.
Lovely.
I have the quiz in front of me. Are you ready to quiz?
Yes.
Question one. Who took the SATs for Rachel?
That will be Pete. Wallace Pinsir.
Well done.
Thank you.
Question two. What does Joey think emus are?
Some sort of plants or vegetation.
A type of plant.
A
correct.
Type of plant.
Chandler lists three films on Richard's shelf before he notices the tape with Monica's name on. Name two of them, says
Cool Louise. Hand Luke.
Yep.
Is one, because I just remember thinking. Is it Rambo or something like that?
No. Clint Eastwood film.
Hmm?
Clint Eastwood.
Oh, you're going to expose my...
It's Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry, okay.
And Magnum 4.
Magnum 4.
Dirty Harry is Clint Eastwood, isn't it?
Yeah.
Question four. What are Mike's parents' friends called? Well, we've already mentioned that. Tom and Sue.
Tom. Sue.
But for a bonus point, name the daughter.
Ooh. You know Tom and Sue's daughter, Jennifer?
Jen, yes.
Jen.
And finally, number five. How many bathrooms does Phoebe say the house has?
14?
Oh, so close. 13.
Oh, 13. That's so annoying. Good quiz. Thanks, Louisa. Thanks, Louisa. And I've got some good news, Pete. I've had radio contact from the fourth quiz at Amy. Actually, this is a good point to let her know whether there's a quiz for next week.
She doesn't need to do one next week.
So get another week off. She is, however, Pete, coming to the live quiz. So there you go. That's the end. Bye. See you next time. Oh, what's next week's episode?
Oh my God, Dave! God, format knowledge is terrible from you today. Next week's episode is season 2, episode 16, the one where Joey moves out.
Oh.
Shall we end with a dramatic reading of "Baby Got Back" to fade? I've got the lyrics here, so
you may read it. I'll provide accompaniment.
Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends. But you know, who understands those rap guys? They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? Wow.
Not very dramatic.
That is... Sorry. They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? I mean, her butt. It's just so big. I can't believe it's just so round. It's like out there. I mean, oh, gross. Look.